Alright, good evening everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. This is Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. This show is going to be a little different than I had intended it, at least for the past week. I have been planning on this interview with Robert Duncan O'Finian, and we did the interview last night. It was about a two-hour interview. A lot of great information came out of the interview. Felt really good about it. And then in the process of encoding it and all this stuff, some very odd things happened, and I lost the middle part of it. I mean, I'm at a total loss of how this happened. But the fact remains, I mean, I've tried everything to recover it. It's just the oddest thing. I lost the middle of it, which is just impossible. So I have the first, say, 15 minutes of the interview, and then I have the last about 40 minutes of it. And the last 40 minutes was our private conversation, and so really there's only a few select things I can use out of that because a lot of private-type stuff was mentioned there, so it's going to be highly edited, except for the first 15 minutes. So, I mean, I don't know what happened. I'll try to fill in the gaps as much as possible, but it was some really weird stuff, and it's a real shame because some good information came out in the interview. But I will try my best to fill in the gaps as much as possible. So let me go ahead and get started. This is the interview we did with Robert Duncan O'Finian just yesterday. Here we go. It's another special edition of Nowhere to Run with our guest Robert Duncan O'Finian. Robert was on a few months back, and we have covered about 2 hours of material and his biography on that show. I was hoping to build on that and update your situation, but in doing so, we'll probably be going way over the head of a lot of people hearing your story for the first time. So if you want to give us that short bio before we begin again, and if people want to find out more of where you're coming from, they can check out the archived show on nowheretorun.info or some of the Project Camelot interviews on Google Video and elsewhere on the internet.
Sure, and we do have a second Project Camelot video that's been out for a few weeks with David Corso and I.
Mm-hmm.
David Corso was an ex-Marine Corps Special Ops guy who was in Cambodia with me as a kid. He was the one of the guys that was there that saw the chopper land and myself and the rest of the kids get out and do what we did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short interview, only about 34, 35 minutes. Most of it's with Mr. Corso.
Right. Now, if you could take everybody back just a little bit and describe what your situation was, where what your history is, and just get them updated before we get going.
Sure. Basically, all this started in 1966, not 1963, like some people on the internet seem to be quoting here lately. I was 6 years old. I was given an exam by what we now know that was MK Ultra, CIA's MK Ultra. I passed the test, and then I was taken into a program that was known as Project Talent. Project Talent was looking for children with specific bloodlines, namely that of Celtic bloodlines, Native American bloodlines, but more importantly, they were looking for kids who were a mixture of the two. And I just happened to be half Irish and half Cherokee. Project Talent was, again, it was kind of split. It was looking for people with paranormal abilities, but also people who could be trained physically and be able to combine the two. So after I passed the test in 1966, I lost all memory until I was 9 and a half years old, which would have been late fall of 1969. And the first memory I have is being in a hospital with dozens of tubes, some of them in me, some of them hanging out. And life was fairly normal for a little while, and then from the spring of 1974, I was taken back. And I had no conscious memory until the spring of 1978. Hmm. And from that time on, it was shorter periods of time. Instead of being years, it was anywhere from a few days to a couple of weeks to a couple of months, but not years like it was before. And I was basically trained as a soldier. I was in the Ultimate Warrior Project, which was an offshoot of the Nazis, Hitler's Ultimate War Machine, where they were looking, trying to build super soldiers during before World War II. These guys were brought over here via Project Paperclip after World War II and just continued on with their experiments. I found out what happened to me several years ago after a car accident. When I was shoved inside an MRI machine, it seemed to have meshed with a cranial implant that I had, still have, it's just burnt out. And all the memories of those lost years came flooding back. And I started the search to find out exactly what happened, who I was. Basically, everything I knew about myself was a lie. Everything I thought I knew about my father was a lie. And everything I thought I knew about this country itself was a lie. And up until this point, that's what I'm still doing. I'm still searching.
And it seemed that you had believed that you would no longer be triggered again, even if that was because of maybe what had happened with the chip or whatever. But has this happened again?
Yeah, I found out that I was wrong. I was definitely wrong about the hypothesis, and so were some other people. I had a meeting a few weeks ago. It was a business meeting, and lasted a couple hours. And I'm leaving out the back way, like I used to do, because it goes out to the street. And I was parked two blocks up, just across two streets here in the parking lot, just a quick walk. Been to this place hundreds of times. And my cell phone rang, and I screwed up. I admit it. I messed up. I was happy. I met some old friends of mine I hadn't seen in several years. The business meeting went very well. And I pulled my cell phone out of my pocket and answered it without seeing who it was from. I remember hearing some whirs, like noises, some clicks. And I was gone out of it for 4 hours. And when I came out of it, I was several miles away on foot.
Do you have any idea what happened or anything of that, any ideas?
Some of it has been starting to come back. If most people remember in the last show that we did, and on most other shows that I've done, then they're familiar that I have a alternate personality. The alternate personality was implanted during childhood, and comes out occasionally. The alternate personality via that phone call was triggered. I was looking for something. I have my suspicions. I've been doing some searching. It's between one of two things, but the alternate personality was looking for something.
Hmm.
And when I came out the next day, I had several bruises. My knuckles were bruised, and they weren't falling down bruises. They were hitting something bruises. My right knee was bruised. I had shin splints, which tells me I was running very hard for a very long distance. I was more than 20 miles from where I started. And I don't know how I got there except via foot.
Do you think that it was something that they did as like a last resort to, that they needed some sort of help in something? Or do you think, could you have any idea of motivations?
I think it was a trigger to go to a federal facility and walk in and then be taken again. That's what I really, truly think was happening.
anything you got out of it?
I remember when the alternate personality is in control, it's like I'm on the outside. It's like I'm standing behind my own shoulder watching. That is one of the craziest things I know to ever hear someone say. But that is exactly what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it didn't used to be that way. Before the implant burns out, I had no memories when the alternate personality took control. Now it's getting to the point to where I do remember things that I see while the alternate is in control.
Hmm.
I'm still putting all that together. I'll find out.
Right.
I will find out.
Yeah, it had me scared when I got that email. I was thinking that was, because that was the weekend of like all that stuff happened. That what? Speaking of, I should probably get your input on all that, the Virginia Tech things.
Yeah.
Anything on that?
Absolutely. The guy was I don't know if he was MKUltra or not. Let me say this real quick before we get into that. MKUltra is like an umbrella. Okay, there were 142 sub projects under MKUltra. So he, you know, I was a couple of them. He could have been any one of those. And the projects have changed names over the years. You know, they rotate the names of the project just like we do our socks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But was he a mind-controlled operative? Absolutely.
What evidences do you think did on that one?
One, the coldness in which he did it. The speed in which he did it. Unless they can prove to me there was more than one shooter, unless there was somebody else in that college shooting besides him, this guy was moving extremely fast. His hit ratio was fantastic. And the fact that he was what we called triple tapping. He was shooting each individual three times.
Go ahead.
That's almost a call sign. Shoot someone three times. And the thing that I haven't heard in any news reports is the bullet placement. Where did he shoot? Did they form a triangle? Did they form a pattern of any kind?
Why is that significant?
One of the things that we were taught to do when we were leaving a calling card was put a fire pattern down in the form of a triangle.
Hmm.
Like one bullet high, two below it, off to the side, to where they can make they look like a triangle.
One thing that seems odd is that he was using 22s and other small caliber weapons. Any significance in that?
Yeah, assassins. We always use small caliber weapons. The CIA basically always used 22 Magnum automatic. A 22 Magnum automatic hits very hard. It's very fast. But yet it's still a 22. It's small. It's subsonic. When you silence a 22 Magnum automatic, you don't hear it.
Hmm.
You'll hear the mechanism click, but that's it. You will not hear the round go off.
Hmm.
He was using 9mm. Still, 9mm is considered small arms. 9mm is lighter, faster to reload. You can carry more ammunition. He was very well thought out.
And I hear that there was, you know, I guess from people's testimonies like Kathy O'Brien, who had mentioned in her book, I believe, that there was a major facility in Blacksburg, Virginia, over in the mountains there, in a mountain,
yeah.
Actually. Any recall of that?
I do know that they do have facilities there. I don't remember ever being in one of them. There's a lot of Defense Department buildings there. A lot of work goes on for the Defense Department. And that would fall right in with the mind control.
Mm-hmm. Moving back to your recent experience quickly, does it give you any hope that's kind of their card, what they were playing there? I mean, that you know what they're going to try to do, and it looks like you made it out. I mean, does it give you any comfort or peace of mind? Or
there's a hell of a lot of things like that.
Yeah, I bet.
I do take comfort in the fact that I did get back. Okay, I did come to, God, I hate to use the term, came back to my senses, but I was able to fight the alternate personality back down. I really don't exactly know how, but I was, and I did make it back from that. Am I scared that they may try it again? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything odd since then?
No more than usual. SUVs every time I leave the front door. Strange phone calls all during the night. Email being messed around with, that kind of thing. They're just normal.
Do you ever try to bring them coffee anymore?
They don't park across the street anymore.
I love that. When you said that, I thought that was just great. I don't know if I'd have the cojones, as they say, to do it, but it's certainly one way of facing your enemy.
I did have a 45.
Okay. Well, how did everything go with your plans with L.A. And the releasing of the material and the proofs and all that stuff? How's that situation going?
It went very well. We had a meeting with Vin D'Abano and his people, and they all.
And this is where the interview cut off, so I apologize for that. I mean, I had a lot of questions, and we got a lot of stuff done. Let me try to fill in the gaps here. Oddly, I had emailed him back, and I'm having server problems right now. Like, as soon as this happened, I tried to email him back and see if we could do it again. But I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's just a lot of bad luck. But either way, so let me try to answer some of the stuff that he answered about this movie thing. They got a deal on the table, and they turned it down for the movie and stuff, not because of money, but more of creative control. And it was like a big company and stuff. But apparently, there's other companies interested. So he's really got a lot of faith that something could be done with this. And he seems to, once this is done, he's kind of going to fade out and leave the country and everything else. So he's hoping for it and to get something done there. Now let's see here. On the other stuff, he talked about as far as all the proof and stuff of his x-rays and all this stuff. Asked him, what is the plan on that? When is the release? They've got, and they have it all set up. They are ready to mail out all this stuff to all these different people. Apparently, I'm included in that list, and I'll get some of the documents and all this stuff that is going to prove all this stuff. So that's a good thing, and I'm sure a lot of people are wondering about that because, like I said in the other interview, a lot of his claims are very provable. I mean, either he has a chip in his head and his hand and in his arm or not, So let's see the proof, and apparently we are going to see the proof, and it's going to be timed, I guess, with all this stuff, which is good, and it's also real dangerous, apparently. One very interesting part of this interview was where I asked him if he experienced sleep paralysis. And if you know anything about sleep paralysis, it's basically waking up in the middle of the night and you can't move and you feel an evil presence in the room. And everywhere except for in America, they have a name for it, and it's basically the some kind of whatever the culture sees as a demon, and that's what they call it. I mean, it's a demon there sitting on your chest, except in America where we believe that it must be a hallucination. It couldn't possibly be anything like that. But I asked him if he experienced it because I have, through a lot of reading and a lot of this different stuff, have been tying in sleep paralysis to alien abductions and to this MK Ultra and the Nazi Satanism. It's all somehow tied together. And if you've listened to the last show that I did and the show with Joe Jordan, you can see where I was going with that. And he did say that he experienced sleep paralysis in the past and currently does experience it. And so that was a very interesting development because of a lot of things. I wish I had that part of the interview because, I mean, I felt some presence with me while we were talking about that was important. So, I mean, I guess I'm guessing that maybe it was for him more than it was for me, because I definitely felt the presence of the Holy Spirit or God or whatever with me while talking about that. So, and I, you know, that happens, you know, rarely when I'm talking and get going on something, but it was then, so it was just kind of a little odd to me that got erased. But anyway, we'd also talked about Joe Jordan, and Joe Jordan is the guy that runs Alien Abduction Crisis Centers of America, AACCOA.org, and there's a lot of, anyway, a lot of the people that he has helped have, like, basically are describing sleep paralysis. It's not necessarily alien abductions, it's just that they are saying that they can't move, and these beings, the ones that everybody describes are evil, sometimes manifest as different things. Sometimes it's the classic gray, sometimes in different cultures it's whatever they see. I mean, it's like Mike Kaiser says, it's a facade. They just conform and wear different masks wherever they are. One guy in the AACC site said, AACCOA.org, said that he thought it was a little girl, and he kind of felt a little calm that it was like, hey, it's just a little girl, you know, he can't move or anything. But then as it, like, he started thinking about it, and a thought crossed his mind that it just wants you to think it's a little girl. And he said as soon as he thought that, this thing had jumped on his chest and you know, was doing all this stuff. Anyway, so but the main point that I was trying to make was that, you know, the sleep paralysis and the alien abductions all ended by calling on the name and authority of Jesus. Now, and it's there's a clue there, and that was what I'm trying to piece together, because there's a clue between the government, the MK Ultra, the alien abductions, the sleep paralysis, the Nazi connection. I mean, there's something that they're all tied together in, and the big clue is that somehow these things are subservient to the name of Jesus. And on the forums and everything, people obviously do not want to hear that, and that's fine. And they're usually retort to all this information of these people having stopped this is that, well, if you, it's a placebo thing. If you, it could be Mickey Mouse or it could be Buddha or whatever, as long as you believe in it or whatever. Well, the problem with that, and I'm not necessarily against that, but the problem with it is that there's no evidence of it. Joe Jordan, who's done extremely well scientific work, has you know, has got 250 documented cases of people that weren't Christians necessarily. A lot of them weren't when they used the name of Jesus to end these abductions and sleep paralysis situations and stuff. But, you know, when they saw this name worked, that's when they started becoming Christians, because they saw the power in it, and becoming really strong Christians, because they knew exactly how, you know, stuff that the Christians going to church don't even deny. Like it says, in the last days they'll have a form of religion but deny the power thereof. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I guess I got off a little bit on that, and I don't even know if I made my point. But my point about him was that he had experienced that sleep paralysis, and he seemed a little unnerved that, you know, I would call that out. And I think a lot of people, hey, but the odd thing about Duncan is that he also, and the reason that he is a key in this, is that he describes a alien abduction in his past, but it's not really an alien abduction, it's more of a sleep paralysis event. But the odd thing is it is directly tied to a CIA ex-CIA buddy of his dad's having this strange encounter at his house right before he was taken again, and doesn't remember anything for 3 years, basically, when he was obviously taken back into the system to do more training and all this other stuff when he was a teenager. And it was all tied to this guy coming and visiting his dad at the farm. They got in a big fight, and for the next 3 days there was flybys of UFOs that his mom and dad were seeing over the house. And on the third night that it actually, you know, filled the room with light, he was paralyzed on the bed, saw something. He doesn't describe it as an alien, just something at the door, like just in all this light. And, you know, the next thing he remembers, it's 3 years later. And so there's a connection there with the CIA and the sleep paralysis and the alien abductions and all this stuff. So, okay, I got to rambling a little bit there. So I'm going to play the rest of this, but It's kind of the private portion of the email, but before I do, I want to answer some of the questions that I did ask him that got erased that are good questions. As far as Joe Jordan, he actually knew Joe Jordan, and he had talked with Joe very early on when he started remembering all this stuff, and Joe stayed on the phone with him to 4 in the morning and really helped him out. And Joe Jordan is the guy that I interviewed 2 weeks ago, president of CE4 Research Group, about these alien abductions and the name of Jesus being used to end them. And so Duncan knew all this stuff. He knew Joe Jordan and thinks very highly of Joe, apparently, and thinks he has his finger on the pulse of exactly what's going on here. So that makes things a little interesting. I asked him about this Bill Corso in the Project Camelot movie that came out since our last interview, and saw if any new developments with that came out. They had been in contact with other people. The John character that they mentioned, they both mentioned, but they don't go into detail in, what is apparently a good friend who they found out later that he was a handler, actually, in the whole thing. But he himself was struggling to remember, too, had been part of it, too, but was a handler, a programmed handler, sort of. But I think in some way or another he had gotten out of it. Still don't really know Bill or Duncan or anybody really knows what Bill Corso's role in it all was. They, can infer that he was some sort of, I don't know, they don't know, but there's some connection there, no new developments on what he was, but you can look from that video, it doesn't seem like he knows or is, he's in as much in the dark, certainly more in the dark than Duncan as far as being able to recall a lot of those memories. He does have AB negative blood. That was a question posed by a listener and a friend, and there's a lot of good questions she had that Duncan had good answers for, and I am just so terribly sorry that all this got that erased. So let's go and get with the rest of this interview. And actually, this is the private portion of this. This is after about an hour and 15 minutes of interviewing, and then we'd already ended it. And so, and I did keep recording, thankfully, I guess. So a lot of this is really highly edited because there's some personal stuff that he doesn't want said about, different things, personal people and stuff. So anyway, here's the rest of this interview, and I hope we can get what we can out of it. Is your alternate personality, is it aware? I mean, it's not like you're just a crazy, unaware type individual, it's doing logical things and thinking logical, semi-logical thoughts. Isn't it? I mean, it's not like, it's running for a good reason, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, no, the alternate personality sees everything that I see right now, hears everything that I say. I was on the end, she said, she has seen the change, she's seen the switch before. And she said, even my face changes, I don't even look like me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice is totally different. It's a low, gruttle, that kind of voice.
Okay, here's a pretty hard edit here, and then I start rambling about the sleep paralysis thing again. 50 or so experiences on the AACCOA.org site, Alien Abduction Crisis Centers of America, and a lot of them aren't alien abductions, they're just sleep paralysis episodes and different things like that. But the calling card every time was that somebody had... In some way, you could tell of a legal system almost that somehow the evil had a deed to you. If now there was, you can read through them and see this for yourself. But sometimes it was, if people were in some way involved in the occult or had dabbled in it, sometimes people hadn't, but their parents had, and sometimes their parents had, but their grandparents did. And you can get this feeling that you can be given the deed to this stuff.
Exactly. That's why. Remember when I said last time that I thought that this was a generational thing?
Mm-hmm.
When I found out my dad was in the CIA, a lot of things started to click.
And a lot of those people that were experiencing alien abductions and sleep paralysis episodes mention in passing, not even thinking much of it, oh, well, my dad was in CIA or the Navy or whatever.
NSA, high military intelligence, something along
those lines. Or in the, in some secret society, or in the Illuminati, yeah. or just a Satanist, you know, and which is common in people that have been, not certainly not everybody, but Satanism runs right in the those circles for sure.
Absolutely, it does.
And one thing that I found interesting too is watching something. It was in the Ancient of Days conference. These people that it's an amazing scientific study of these aliens and the biblical precedents for them. A guy named Stan Deo, former remote viewer, may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he lives in Australia.
Well, he had described this remote viewing thing, or how he got it. It was they made him like look at a screen or something like this or whatever. Something happened where he was in the military. Nobody thought much of it, but it somehow, part of that, I don't know if it was that or something similar, gave everybody remote viewing. It's kind of this ability to kind of tap into the subconscious all over the world. You know, you could see the DNA structure, some Einstein stuff, and have dreams about it, you know, and tap into the consciousness. And, you know, and a lot of people can do that and fancy themselves, you know, pretty, you know, important and special and whatnot. A lot of times, the hardest thing, according to Joe Jordan, for people that getting them out of it is getting them to relinquish this idea of their abilities, because it's all wrapped up in, a lot of times, because of the entities and because of the people that they see when they are in this thing that they can't remember, and is apparently these people or things or whatever are all telling them how special they are because of it. So there is it's hard to break people away because they don't. And in Sandale's case, when he became a Christian and he had people, you know, praying over him or whatever, there was a specific instance, you'll have to hear him say it, but it didn't happen anymore. I mean, he didn't have any of the abilities anymore, which is an interesting tie-in to it, because it wasn't needed. Now, I and in your case, I don't know what to make of you, but it definitely it's there's little things, little just pieces of this puzzle everywhere. It's hard to grasp.
Well, one of the things that I was told is that one of the main reasons. That I was turned into a soldier instead of the quote psychic spy is that I fought against the abilities. Mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, trying to wrestle with that and understand it, but I do see a tie-in with it here. Is, you know, I was told that I fought against the abilities.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead. Certainly.
The major ability that I have is what I've always maintained, is that if I shake your hand, I get a mental image, a picture of what you're really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I read your mind. It's not that I hear your thoughts. It's just I get a picture of what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's kept me out of trouble more than once, but it's also, it's a pain in the butt.
I'm sure.
Sometimes it's a real pain in the butt.
I'm sure.
But there's a book that you need to check out. It's called Hostage to the Devil. And I read it years ago. I think Malachi Martin wrote it. And it's written from the Catholic perspective, but it's written by one of the old-time exorcists.
Oh, yeah, I know Malachi Martin, or heard, know of him.
Yeah. There is an episode in there of an exorcist, and one of the guys that the exorcist was performed on reminds me of the Stan Deo story so well, is that this guy had all these abilities. He could see everything in color. He could see everything right down to the matrix of its makeup. He could do all those things, and he became this guru type guy, had a following the whole nine yards. And once the exorcism was performed and was successful, it all went away.
Okay, here's another hard edit, and we got to talking about different things, astral projection, astral travel. Again, I talk more in this part because this is supposed to be like a private conversation. I wasn't trying to interview him at this point. I mean, I guess I was, but I was talking more than I would if this was on air. Here we go.
Somehow it does something else. Eventually, they'll start kicking you out of the body.
Exactly right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. It's that's one of the most dangerous practices that these people do, is astral travel, because you're absolutely right. Once you move your spirit from the body, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It's just laying out wide open, and anything can any demonic can just float right down in it and take control, and you're left out in the open.
Predisposed to it. Man, I got to rambling a good deal here.
As bad as I am.
No. Any other things about the people on the internet and stuff like that, any of the different sites and all that stuff that got you worked up or anything like that?
Oh, man, they're trying to kick my chops in big time. It's a trash party on the internet. Some of those, mostly on forums.
A lot of them are
on the military forums, believe it or not. And, man, it's just trash. And when I first started reading those, I'm thinking, God, what a bunch of kids. But then you click on the name and go to the bio, and I'm looking 28 years old, 32 years old. I'm thinking, you people, like, you got to be kidding me. You're talking more vulgar than I ever did. You're putting things in there that is completely misquoted. It's like you're making things up as you go along, and I start reading over all these different sites, all these different forums, and they read the same. Like the same 2-3 people wrote them all.
Right.
Wrote all the hundreds of them. You know, so I don't know if it's a small group that's going around doing it, which part of me thinks it is. It's a small group that's going that. Been given an assignment, your assignment, trash this guy to death.
Right.
But after we've had this conversation, especially when you told me about the lady that was doing the press station and she got hit, I'm not so sure. It may be on that side of the fence.
Well, it seems like the people, like some of the ones that are doing the worst for you, are the ones that are supposedly doing, trying to defend you, as you said in the last interview. But you know, I'm not so sure that they're really trying to defend you. I think that they're just being ridiculous in their defense of you, thereby causing, all this other stuff.
Yeah, I agree. The best thing they can do is just back off. You know, if you want to go someplace and type in that you watched it, you believe it, that's it. Fine. That's cool. I don't got a problem with it. But you don't have to go around from board to board, and do that.
I think it does show that those people are working for somebody. I don't think any, I don't know. I think it's just another kind of reverse psychology situation of attacking you.
Exactly. I agree with that. But I got an email from somebody a couple of days ago that had noticed it, and that's the reason I started doing the searches. And their comment was, you really got some people scared. That's why they're attacking you so bad. It's because you've got some people running scared right now.
Okay, and the next thing we were talking about, the clip on the internet of Bill Clinton where he's sitting there and they're putting makeup on him before he goes on TV and he's just totally, his face looks really weird, like, you're just out of it, like... The whole idea is that he was also trauma-based, mind-controlled, and that was he was definitely not in it there. But also, there was a video of him where, in the kind of the same similar thing, like an outtake of something before it was actually aired, where he was in, like, his little kid altar, and he was talking just like a little kid, and his face changed just like a little kid. So that's what we were talking about here.
You could see him putting his makeup on before some kind of a dress or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then also the one where he's a kid. I don't know if that was in the same time, but it was definitely in his kid altar. And you could see it in his face. I mean, it was like a little kid's face,
Yeah.
Kid's voice, kid's face.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just makes me think that, it could be another entity. But what, like Kathy O'Brien describes with the kids' faces is that, they're little evil bastards, too. They're just sadistic little kids. They may be kid faces and kid voices, but they're just evil little sons of bitches, too.
No, she's absolutely right. I have memories when we were kids, and we weren't nice. They didn't want us to be nice. The alternate personalities ain't nice.
Right.
That's the personality that they trained to be the stone cold killers.
Mm-hmm. I bet there is something. I don't know. I never really thought about this before, but, you know, hearing about all personality here, that there could be a spiritual component to it. That maybe, I mean, these Nazis people knew, as we all know very well, about some different things like that, and they might have been, like, implanting something. I know that, you know, giving a, clearing the way for something. I know that it's all physically makes sense, you know, with traumatizing and opening us, but in a way it doesn't really make sense, you know? I mean, we all know how it's supposed to have worked, but, you know, maybe they were implanting an evil being of some sort, of some capacity, of some rank, you know?
That is something that we've discussed before, too. We just don't know. I vividly remember the torture. Okay, I remember what was done, but I don't remember when the other personality took over. Initially, I don't remember when that happened. We discussed that before, that they may have just broken the will down to the point to where they implanted or just did a ceremony and let it walk in.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very possible.
Because otherwise it would seem that there would have to be a whole separate time where you would be given a training of what an evil bastard is like and how to act like an evil bastard. You know, you'd remember that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't just an already pre-made evil bastard.
Yeah. One of the things, and like I said in the interview, that we were all born in June, one of the things that I think with that is that going by the Zodiac, which, I don't know a lot about the Zodiac, but sign of Gemini, the twins, they're already kind of multi-personality.
Mm.
You know, Geminis can run hot and cold. They, you know, they can be happy one minute and then kind of quiet the next.
Mm.
So I think if there's anything to that, then there would already be a predisposition for split personalities, alternate personalities.
Well, that definitely makes sense. You said they were all born in June or whatnot.
Each and every one of us.
Well, I'm getting a feeling that there's probably something very, very important to that.
Okay, here is an edit. Just a side note, I did get a really interesting feeling when he had mentioned that, something, you know, that I don't really get that often or anything. I can only assume that maybe there is something to that and been prompted to make a big deal out of it. So this next part we're kind of talking more about the recent goings-on and stuff about, you know, Bush declaring himself a dictator and so on. So here we go.
I think so, too, but I don't think we'll see Bush leave office.
We may not.
I really don't. I don't think, you know, my thinking has changed on that over the past few years. I never expected him to survive. I expected the sacrifice to be made out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to thinking, Bush is not as stupid as people think. He's crazy, but he's crazy like a fox. And I, with some of the things that he's done over the past few weeks, especially giving himself total dictatorial powers,
mm-hmm,
in case of national emergencies, man, I read that and everything just clicked. This guy plans on staying in office.
He may. You're right. That does make sense. That is an interesting idea, to say the least. That because he, as a dictator, he can obviously postpone anything and do any number of things.
Hmm. Can postpone the elections indefinitely, and with what he signed, he bypasses Congress.
Oh yeah.
You know, his law, his word will supersede the Congress and the Senate, so that will be suspended. He has carte blanche to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. And I think
to me, that's scary.
Well, they may need it because, I mean, they are. I do think that the larger goal is to get America, the North American Union here, is merged with everything else, all the other global government. And really, I think that infrastructure is there. I think people don't even realize that we don't even know that the North American Union exists, but they've already merged the North American Union with the European Union, and nobody even knows about that. And it's like they're getting the infrastructure built, and then, but they're not going to have the patriotism necessary for a world government until aliens land on the White House lawn, or whatever way they do to introduce aliens to us, which they can do a number of different ways, disclosure, yeah, or whatever. But everybody that's, you know, also happy about these aliens and all this thing, this new wave of it, is don't realize it's the same people that are giving us all the other information, or the same ones promoting this alien agenda thing. I mean, how blind are we, you know? It's crazy.
People see only what they want to see. If it don't fit into their world, then they don't want anything to do with it. And even though deep down inside, part of their psyche, they know it's true, it's easier for them to debunk, to make fun of, to attack the messenger than it is to sit down and say, you know, that guy may be right. Let me look at it. It's just easier for them to go on the rampage.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's cowardly.
I gotta give it to you though, Duncan. I mean, it is amazing what you can and have grasped and remember and everything. I'm sure that it's giving somebody out there that's gone through this, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that are searching for this stuff out there, and I'm sure that you're giving a lot of people a lot of hope that aren't the ones that aren't emailing you, the ones that aren't, that don't know enough or still too totally confused to piece any of it together, you know?
Well, I have gotten lots of emails from people that were in some of these black projects, not identical to mine, but, you know, extremely similar. You know, like I said, there was 142 projects under MKUltra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing was divided, subdivided. It was set up as a maze so people couldn't find out about it. But I've gotten tons of emails from people saying, you know, thank you, and then giving me a little bit of their background. And I had this one guy, Native American, and he was in the Navy. And he said he was one generation behind me, so he would have been one of the real early ones. And it got so bad with him, he actually had to leave the country. And he wrote me, it came at a good time, too, because it was one of those mornings I was reading all these negative things, and I was just about to say, you know what, forget it. If nobody wants to hear this, that's fine. Let them find it out in the end. And he thanked me in the last paragraph of the letter for speaking out where he didn't have the courage to. And I read that, and I went, you know what? I ain't stopping for nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Michael Sala told me, because I asked him point blank, I said, you know, why are they so afraid of me? They can debunk me. You know, they've got the money. They've got the resources. They can take me out. They can do all this stuff. And he sat there, and he said, you haven't figured it out yet, have you? And I said, I obviously not, you know. And he says, they're not afraid of you. They could care less about you. It's the alternate personality that they're afraid of. He has all the information. He knows where all the skeletons are.
Ooh, yeah.
He's the one that has the abilities. That's what they're afraid of.
Well, get rid of him, Duncan, and you won't have anything to worry about.
Okay, let me quickly give out emails for email information for Duncan. Please email him and you can also go to his website. His email is finbarxxx@yahoo.com. That's finbarxxx@yahoo.com. I think that's it. finbarxxx@yahoo.com. You can go. You can find his website. Robert Duncan Ophinian, Project Talent, but it's at a website called wintersteel.com, and it's not really his website, but you can go through and find where he is through that website, wintersteel.com, and look for his name, Robert Duncan Ophinian. And one thing that I was really upset that got erased was the call for prayers for him. I mean, he really, really needs some help. He's in a lot of danger. I mean, believe him or not, you know. And so please, if you got a chance to pray for him, I know I've got some terrific listeners out there. I've got the prayer dream team out there too. And I am so thankful for all you guys and for all your prayers for me and to keep me from saying disinformation. I can feel him, and I encourage you to continue, but certainly for Duncan right now, we could really use him. I know it kind of turned some people off, but man, it's working. I mean, I can't not say it because it's really working, and I know that it's really needed for him too, and that was probably the reason that the whole thing got erased in the first place, is that something didn't want that call going out. Call to arms for spiritual warriors out there. Okay, well, I still got a little credibility. Let's do a few more business things here. Let me talk just a second about Revere Radio, and you can go there at revereradio.net. There's 20 or so DJs doing virtually the same thing I am. 24 hours a day, you can click on that stream. There's always something going on. In the middle of the night to the early morning, there is some information that you're not going to hear anywhere else on Revere Radio. You can go hit the Make a Donation button. It's listener-sponsored radio. $5, $10 really does help keep all the wheels turning over there. So I encourage you to do it. Also, on this show, we've got a lot of really interesting research and projects coming up. I've been looking a lot into Mars, the Cydonia, the connection there, because there's no doubt that there is a major connection there. And it's going to be used whether you believe the backstory or not. We're all going to be hearing a whole lot about Mars here real soon. NASA is probably when they... I don't think that they necessarily even have to have, you know, their aliens show up and get on news cameras. Really, they could just prove whatever they wanted with anomalies of Mars, but they've been keeping that under their hat until the appropriate time, in my opinion. But it's and the reason I think that they do that a lot is because I think that the anomalies on Mars prove something that they don't want it to prove unless they can spin it. And I'll try to walk through some of that and why I think a lot of that stuff. In the meantime, I would encourage you guys to look up David Flynn, FLYNN. Go to Google Video, type in David Flynn, see some of his presentations. It's a very intense onslaught of information, and you know, you have to have a reasonable amount of interest and intelligence to sit through the hour and some odd presentations. But if you like Freeman, and you like what Freeman has to say about the symbolism and where it comes from, this is the next level of that. I mean, Freeman, I actually try to email him all the time and try to get him to look at some of this stuff, because this is the secret. This is the gnosis. I mean, this is if you are interested in Freeman's bag, and you want to hear it from a slightly different perspective, but you can hear more from this perspective, because they're anyway, you have to see what I'm talking about. You just go to Google Video, type in David Flynn, and download it. Get it on your computer. This is the kind of thing that we need downloaded, because if it's not there, then, you know, so this is just really important information. Anyway, so I'm going to try to do some shows on that and some other things. I got a lot of irons in the fire with things that I want to do and debunk and all this kind of thing. So just stick with me here. And again, you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. All right, that's about it for me, guys. I do solicit prayers in this show. That's how you support the show. So if you have a minute, or you do that kind of thing, a prayer would be really appreciated. And I think that is about it. I believe we are here in these last days, and I think we should start acting like it a little bit. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. I'm out.